You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text SUNNY to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text SUNNY to 200-300. That's SUNNY to 200-300. SUNNY to 200-300.
Miami produces an awful lot of interesting people and interesting stories, and I believe, Billy, that the police officers in this city have all the stories of this city. So explain to the audience who it is that's joining us here today and why they need to be listening to him, because he's got an uncommon expertise at like the dirty underbelly, dirtiest underbelly of this city.
Al Singleton, in addition to being one of the stars of our documentary Cocaine Cowboys, he was a veteran homicide detective at Metro-Dade, now Miami-Dade County Police Department. He retired after 30 years back in 2003. 23 of those years were spent in homicide. He personally went out to California to federal prison to extradite Griselda Blanco, La Madrina, the godmother of cocaine, to come to Florida to answer for her homicides here, her capital crimes in South Florida. And he spent his entire career locking up criminals, including he was involved in the Miami River Cops case, which was the biggest police corruption scandal in the history of the United States, perhaps prior to the Serpico era in New York. And again, spent his entire career locking up murderers. And now, in his retirement...
And at the height of the drug wars in the most lawless of cities.
When Miami was the murder capital of the United States of America. Al has seen it all, and now, in retirement, is oddly trying to help exonerate and release a convicted killer. A man named Thomas Raynard James, who was convicted of a murder that took place in 1990 in Coconut Grove, of a man named Francis McKinnon. And he was convicted, as I said, sentenced to life. He has served 30 years and counting in prison here in Florida. And Tristram Corton, a fabulously talented guy who made his bones in the 1990s at the Miami New Times, which was the golden era, just a murderer's row of investigative journalists there, including Jim DeFede, Francisco Alvarado, the Banana Republican, and Tris Corton.
They've proven that this man is innocent beyond any reasonable doubt.
Wrote an article for GQ that ran last summer, effectively exonerating him. Tris turned over all of the materials, the vast majority of which were public records that he had obtained from Catherine Fernandez Rundle, the Miami-Dade State Attorney's Office, basically saying, here's the blueprint for my investigation, my shoe leather journalism. Here's your own public records. The man, you got the wrong guy sitting there for 30 years. And despite having this material as of last March, the man, as we sit here today and speak, is still in prison. And I don't know that Al knows why. I don't know that I know why, but Al saw this
article. Can't be, shouldn't be, impossible that he is still, it is harder. And Al can speak to this. Forgive us for the rambling, Al, because I want to get to whatever it is you'd like to ask, Al. But people need to understand about the criminal justice system. It's a hell of a lot easier to put people in than it is to get people out, even if they're innocent, that everyone's incentivized to keep them in.
And it was, in fact, the same homicide bureau at Metro-Dade, at Miami-Dade County Police Department, that Al worked in that effectively helped to wrongfully convict this guy. And I've known Al for a lot of years, and Al is a pretty straightforward, straight-laced, law and order kind of guy. And for me, it's sort of, I don't want to say unusual or out of character. He's a justice guy, first and foremost. But to see him again trying to help a convicted killer get out of prison is, to me, a little off-brand for Al. So, Al, I get it. Let's start there. How did you come to read this article and realize that, when I say you, I mean, you know, homicide at Miami-Dade got the wrong guy?
Well, you are correct. I never thought I would find the day where I would be an advocate for a drug dealer from Brownsville. But here we are. But the minute I read Chris Corton's article, I came to the conclusion right away, man, we got the wrong guy. And like you said, I was working back there. I did not work this case, but of course had an interest in it. And I, in all the years I've worked, I've never become aware of any case where we lock up the wrong guy. But it was clear from the evidence in the article that Chris did an excellent job on that we blew it. We got the wrong guy.
And 30 years. So he's he has already had 30 years of suffering, wronged, 3 decades in prison.
And more disturbingly, I think the last year, because to be fair, the people who wrongfully convicted him believed that they had the right guy, did get a jury to convict him. But the thing is, since last March, the state attorney's office has had the same information that we have, that Al Singleton now has. And in a weird way, the last year has almost been a greater injustice than the prior 30 years, because they know they've got the wrong guy and still yet they refuse to exonerate him and release him. How long should a case like this have taken to reinvestigate and to exonerate?
Well, this is not a complicated case. This is not a conspiracy. This is a cut and dried shooting that happened inside an apartment. Limited number of witnesses. There's no reason they should not have been able to resolve this or rectify this within 2 or 3 months. Now we're going on 10, and we still don't have a solution to it.
So all I can ask at this point is, and I know you don't necessarily have any, you're retired now and out of state, you don't necessarily have any inside information per se, but what could possibly be taking so long? We often talk about corruption in this town, but I don't think that it's that. It might just be good old-fashioned incompetence. What do you ascribe it to, this delay?
You know, I don't know that I have an answer to that. I don't know if they're embarrassed. I don't know that they're worried about being liable. I don't know if it's just institutional arrogance. I don't know that maybe it's just hard to admit the unthinkable, that you've locked up a guy for 30 years that was innocent. But the bottom line is, I don't know.
Is the state attorney's office just simply not built for justice? Is it built for numbers, and those numbers are convictions? They're not exonerations. They're not acquittals. They're built to lock people up. They're not built to let people go. I mean, is it just, like you said, is it an institutional issue there? Because they don't even really seem to have a division dedicated to this, despite the fact.
To righting obvious wrongs.
Yeah.
I'm told this unit that it's assigned to now is a sort of like a conviction integrity unit. It's supposed to address these type of things. But if you've got people that staff that unit that they can't make a decision, then it's just misnamed. If you have a reasonable expectation this guy's innocent, if that doesn't motivate you to do what's right and do it quickly, then I don't know what I can tell you.
They have a justice project, is what it's called, within the Miami-Dade State Attorney's Office. It's presently made up of just 3 assistant state attorneys, all of whom are from the legal unit, which means that they all have a day job. They all have day-to-day responsibilities at the office. And then as a side project, they review these justice project cases. Now, as they need, they could pull in some support team members, but that's not a real dedication to the cause. And especially in a case like this, where you had a journalist who basically wrapped it all up in a gift box and a bow.
Did the work for you. Just get the wrong right. Here, don't waste one more minute, one more day. Don't let it get stuck in the bureaucracy.
Now, you mentioned earlier the River Cops case. When we caught that case, we didn't know if it was police impersonators, real police corruption. But the minute we determined that we were dealing with real police corruption, our commander, Wayne McCarthy, made the decision, you guys are working nothing else. You are dedicated to this case and this case only. And Kathy Rundle, once she became aware that this guy spent 30 years in prison for something he didn't do, she should have made the same decision, taking a couple of senior people, assigned them to get this rectified and get it rectified now.
Kathy Rundle is someone you're always criticizing. She, again, I mean, I don't know if this compromises Al, but she's a chief part of the problem right now, recusing herself from corruption cases.
Well, I certainly can't speak for Al, but I can speak for the fact that being a 40-year Miami-Dade County resident, that when people complain about dysfunction and corruption in Miami, I always say you got to look at the top cop. Who is responsible for the accountability in this community? And that's not just police officers. That's public corruption in general. These are elected officials, wherever corruption may be in this community. She has abdicated her responsibility there. And she basically has sent a message to politicians and police officers and public officials and bureaucrats alike of impunity, that I'm not going to prosecute these cases. So you can basically run amok and act a fool because I am not going to be the one who is going to hold you accountable. Al wrote a beautiful op-ed for community newspapers called Justice Delayed, Justice Denied. And like I said, for the previous 30 years that this man has been wrongfully convicted and rotting in prison in Florida, this was based on a conviction. And so the people who botched the investigation and botched the case, yes, they hold some serious responsibility. But the last year, Kathy Rundle has known that they got the wrong guy. And so I think the last year is worse than the previous 30 years because it's this compounding injustice. It's like it's adding injury to insult at this point. And you have a case where you have a politician. She's a politician, Kathy Rundle. She runs for office every 4 years, often unopposed. She has been our only state attorney since 1994 when Janet Reno left for the Clinton administration. At that time, that's how long she's been in office. And as a politician, she's not always making decisions based on the administration of justice. She's making decisions based on public opinion or based on political considerations. For example, as you mentioned most recently, Art Acevedo, the former police chief of the city of Miami, who got fired after 6 months on the job attempting to reform the department. All of his initiatives have since been reversed by the new police chief that was handpicked by the city commission.
I want Al's opinion about all of this. Well, I'm hoping that he can give me an honest opinion on everything you're saying right now.
Kathy Rundle has said that she actually cannot investigate the corruption that the former police chief and the owners of Ball and Chain have cited in the city of Miami because one of her prosecutors, a senior prosecutor, that person's brother is a potential witness to the corruption in the city of Miami. So they're conflicted and now they have to send the case to Broward. I don't know why they didn't do that several months ago. The timing is suspect. But as you can see from this Thomas Rainer James case, justice is administered extremely slowly.
Al, what do you got on all of that?
My biggest question is why is there no outrage by career prosecutors that we got the wrong guy in prison for 30 years? And why aren't they acting on it? My second question is why isn't the Herald and other media outlets covering this story and covering the fact that this story has been known since August of last year and nothing's been done?
Yeah, and I don't know Al to be an activist, but there is a what they call a day of action next Wednesday, January 26th on social media with the hashtag Free Thomas Rainer James. If you follow me on Twitter at Billy Corbin, C-O-R-B-E-N, I'll be retweeting a lot of that stuff so you can keep up with the latest on the case. But I don't know that anybody has answers to Al's questions because as a political beast, Catherine Fernandez Rundle could have very easily taken the evidence.
Just ordered it.
Well, she could have spent the 2-3 months that Al said would be necessary, prioritize this. She could have released the guy, done a victory lap, and patted herself on the back. Instead, it's become this liability for her. And what I'm hearing, and Al, I don't know if you're hearing this, what I'm hearing is that, and I think Kathy Rundle might have even said this to the Miami Times or one of the periodicals who wrote about this at this point last year in late summer, early fall. Kathy Rundle alluded to the fact that they're not exonerating him right away because they're reinvestigating the case and trying to find who actually did do it. The idea that for some reason they have to exchange one body for, you know, one warm body for another. That doesn't, does that make sense, Al? Do they have to, they know the guy didn't do it. Is it incumbent upon them to first release him and then worry about reinvestigating the case and finding the real killer?
I would think so. I mean, at least let him out on his own recognizance, crying out loud, but don't keep him in prison for something he didn't do.
Al, thank you for being on with us. I can't even imagine. What can you tell us about this police chief fiasco here in South Florida where Billy just articulated it? 6 months, the guy comes in here and finds all the corruption everywhere, tells everybody, and then instead of doing anything, we just get rid of him.
Gotta love Miami. Just gotta love it.
It's not funny. It's not funny.
Well, it's funny for him. He doesn't live here anymore. What does he care?
He moved. Thank you, Al. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
They're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Billy Corbin has come in here again with his hair on fire. It's a little uncomfortable, honestly. We've got a nice environment. We're all laughing, having fun. And Billy comes in, hair on fire, shouting, the apocalypse is upon us. And he's right about everything, of course. And we're sitting here fiddling on the deck of the Titanic, talking about sports things. And he's like, guys, Miami's going to be underwater in 10 years. And it already is, corruption-wise, and dysfunction all over South Florida. But before we get to Billy's greater concern about Ron DeSantis, he doesn't want to bore you, he doesn't want to lecture you, but it makes him crazy. What's happening in the state, in the city, in this country, it makes him legitimately nuts. He comes in here sweating, winded. Mike, cocaine-y, you've been
getting... Why'd you say Mike before that?
Because he's been coming at you, burying your eyebrows in syllables and chatter, screaming about everything.
You can't bury those beautiful caterpillars.
Including this Ruiz billionaire who now is fighting with our show because Billy continues to drag us into the realm of questioning this Ruiz guy's money. And I've been, fanning the flames on this. I'm no innocent here.
Listen, I'm glad you're holding yourself accountable because it is kind of disgusting that this is a one-way discussion now. And the only person... saying, hey, let's wait and see and get people. Why are you starting with me?
I'm not
already
letting this derail this conversation. Last week, I had a whole agenda of important issues that actually affect the lives of people in this community, in this country. And instead,
we got caught up in stadium conversations. The Ruiz family has the it factor. You know what
the famous Roman poet said, give them bread and circuses and they will never revolt. And that's what this is. Bread and circuses.
Saying.
This is bread and circuses.
I am not going to allow this to derail again with you guys arguing whether he can build some sort of spaceship stadium over some park that is all our public land or not.
Not arguing, and nor am I dissuading any fine boosters out there that want to give to the great University of Miami to help make us better. By all means, come out and do it. Just know that there are several people helping that you don't know their names.
Yes.
That are helping in some cases, more certainly more than you know, and in some cases, more than the Ruiz family might be helping right now. And that's this is all great. Give $10, give $10 million. I don't care. Just help.
Let me say this. The word fan is short for fanatic, which of course infers that people are not bringing logic or reason to the table. They believe in things out of faith and devotion to a brand or a team or a franchise or a school or whatever it is. But I will say that if you have been a Miamian or a Miami fan for the last 40 years, to come to the table without some healthy skepticism, to be just this credulous, to me is a bit confusing. And by the way, I really enjoy and respect the spirit of the Ruiz family's message, which is that we have found some success in life and we want to give back to the community or whatever. You know, my grandfather, who was a very philanthropic man, once said to me that his greatest regret in life is that he didn't make more money so that he could give more money away, because there are so many worthwhile people and organizations and causes. And he did, to University of Miami, to the arts. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't write a press release about it every 15 minutes.
Okay, but hold on a second. Before we turn this again into a bashing of a guy who's trying to
be a family. Nobody's bashing. You come off as bashing. It's all fashion. You come off as bashing and you come off like you have an agenda. What is my agenda? Skepticism has been earned in South Florida.
Any loud guy claiming to have money who doesn't have proven money.
Bit of a cheap rationalization to say it's been earned.
What is my agenda? That's what I really want to know. What is my agenda here?
I think skepticism is healthy for this discussion. I think you're taking it a bit too far because these things will be held under a scrutinous light of integrity real soon, and we'll find out what's what.
Is he threatening us with litigation? He does not like...
I mean, he threatens everybody with litigation, it seems, but I don't think we're going to be sued.
We're not a target yet. I saw somewhere
Billy said we're all on the same team.
We're all on the same team here.
Yeah, we are all on the same team. We all... I don't think Billy wants to be on this team.
I will say right now also, by the way, the Republican state representative, Chip LaMarca, who introduced the NIL bill in the state of Florida, called me and consulted with me on it. The bill wasn't ideal, but I was a staunch supporter.
That's a great name drop by you.
He knew
that's a litigation drop.
He knew that I was a staunch supporter of NIL. We all know that the NCAA has failed to lead, to be diplomatic. What they've done is they've turned this into a la carte cluster Okay, an ad hoc disaster.
It's so great. It's so great.
Because it is of their own making. And I love the moves on the NIL side. I think it's great. I mean, $50,000 here, $50,000 there. I thought we were talking about $50 million, but there's no pledge card for that. So nonetheless, the point is that I love it. I love the NIL deals. I think it's going to be a mess for quite some time. And that's the NCAA's fault. That's nobody else's fault. But I think the schools need to be concerned about educating the players about financial literacy. I think they need to be concerned about where the money is coming from, because you don't want to see the kids wind up in a situation in any school where they fall prey to predatory boosters, which happens at all major athletic departments. We are prone to it here at the University of Miami. And I think that it's appropriate that this is all happening on the week that we celebrate Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday, because I think that slavery and oppression come in all forms, especially in modern day. And I will say, if you want to see systemic inequity, look no further than the NCAA, which has a system developed by wealthy white men to profit from the unpaid labor of predominantly black students and young black people. So I think it's fantastic. I support it wholeheartedly.
Okay, let me stop you.
Yes.
Just stop there, because you've said the other part.
This is going great
so far. No, but he said the other part, and I don't need to venture into the questioning of Ruiz again.
Follow the money.
Just know.
Follow the money.
That it sounds like Billy's just got Nevin Shapiro post-traumatic stress disorder, and it's earned. Anybody who cares about the University of Miami, you are right to question anybody who comes around throwing their money around wanting to lord over the program.
You want us on hibachi? Present on a shalala with an oversized check. Maybe pay for an abortion. Jesus. Then Dickie V says, what the heck?
Billy is wondering what that's about.
Was that Kathleen Turner singing?
No, that's Bruce Springsteen singing. Some of the details to the Nevin Shapiro scandal that included an abortion.
Everybody,
and hibachi.
Come on.
You order some hibachi. Present down a shillelagh with an oversized check. Maybe pay for an abortion. Then Dickie V says, what the heck?
All right. You guys, this is what I want to do, because I want to mix both the serious that Billy brings, because it's important.
That
what
check
he's
bounced,
doing.
By the way. Nevin's last check bounced from the bowling alley.
The oversized one?
The bowling alley check bounced.
Would you do me the favor? I would love the E Street Band to make an appearance after every serious question.
What's your point to Roy?
I pointed in the general direction of the room. Billy, I want to get your serious thoughts on some of the more serious stuff.
Bread and circuses.
Going on in South Florida and beyond. Let's start with DeSantis. Oh, and God. I know you're exasperated from 50 different sides on this, but go ahead. Just give me your best couple of minutes and we will try to rein you in with some song when you're done.
I feel like Roy should just start throwing out some of the inane bills that have been introduced this week. We could start with Ron DeSantis introducing his own gerrymandered map of Florida for redistricting, which basically completely disenfranchises people of color, Hispanic people, no less, who actually have voted for him and support him. He just doesn't give a shit about if they have any power whatsoever. The problem is demographically, the Republicans are basically the dinosaurs cursing the meteor as it hurtles toward the earth, or at least telling people don't look up. But the reality is that demographically, they can't win. They are slowly going extinct. So what they have to do is they have to cheat. They have to gerrymander. They have to disenfranchise. They have to put ghost candidates into state races, like the Republican Frank Artiles was arrested for here in Dade County, because a Republican won by 34 votes because they put a ghost candidate with the same surname as the Democrat who was a surefire winner to be reelected in that race, that incumbent. And now you have this insane map. Then you have an insane bill that says that sports events must play the national anthem, which they all already do anyway, or else they cannot receive or they have to pay back any money received from the state. First of all, it's grossly unconstitutional. And how about this? If you're really a small government conservative, how about a bill that says we don't give a shit about what music you play at a sporting event? But how about we ban public money from going to professional sports teams for their millionaire and billionaire sports team owners? That's real conservatism. And now we have the 15-week abortion ban, not dissimilar to the Texas bill. Florida is Texas and Texas is Florida. If you read a headline, I can usually tell whether or not it's Florida. And if it's not Florida, it's usually Texas or Alabama.
Yeah, because the national anthem was basically based off what they did in Texas, because that got started by Mark Cuban not playing the national anthem at the Mavericks games. And then they went into that. So
who gives a shit? If you're a Republican, you should give a shit that we spend billions of dollars a year in sports welfare. privatizing profits and socializing losses, turning millionaires like Jeff Loria into billionaires overnight. I mean, the MLS team, for crying out loud, was, what did Beckham pay for it? Like $24-25 million.
It's now
worth like 250, and as soon as they get this stadium deal, it'll be worth $500 million. That's all on the backs of taxpayer property and taxpayer subsidies. The most grotesque of these bills, and there's so many grotesqueries, is the white discomfort bill. A bill, again, a violation of the First Amendment. We talked last year.
Roy just rolled through here saying, that's some bullshit. Like the white, what'd you call it? The white feelings bill?
Exactly. It's the white feelings bill.
The white feelings. And listen, white people have had it so bad for so long. We need to finally do something for us, for crying out loud, right? Poor white people, for crying out loud. But this bill would actually ban teachers and employers from making white people feel uncomfortable in the teaching of real history about racism and slavery in this country. A lot of people post a lot of Martin Luther King quotes this week. A lot of people who, by the way, do not believe in anything that Dr. King stood for. And this is one of my favorite quotes, because he's often de-radicalized. Even the I Have a Dream speech is romanticized or Disney-fied. And in actuality, it was quite radical, and most Americans, the man was murdered, for crying out loud,
I mean,
for what he believed.
He was assassinated
in.
For right. Crying for equality.
By white people, and protesting for sanitation workers, for crying out loud. This is my favorite quote, though, and Stephen Colbert put it up the other day. Whites, it must frankly be said, are not putting in a similar mass effort to re-educate themselves out of their racial ignorance. It is an aspect of their sense of superiority that the white people of America believe they have so little to learn. This is an anti-education bill. This was put forth in part by a Hispanic state representative, a man who gets six figures a year from a charter school company, one of the biggest in the state of Florida. This is all part of the Republicans' ongoing effort to destroy public schools. It's 20 years old. It started with Jeb Bush here in the state of Florida. And they need to raise an entire new generation of Republican voters by not uninforming them, but misinforming them. And that's what this is designed to do.
I was going to say, I just find it funny that with all the GOP using MLK quotes, that Rand Paul, who doesn't think that lynching is a federal hate crime, decides to post a moral platitude over here. Like, that's just, it's disgusting, the hypocrisy of that.
And they rail against cancel culture, but they are banning books. Next step will be burning books. They're banning anything that might bring discomfort to someone. How can you even prove that? You could very easily bring discomfort from someone by telling them hard, ugly truths about the history of our country. A teacher is what? Going to get arrested for that? Going to get fined for that? Going to lose their job for that? Like, you got the head of the Orange County Department of Health in the Orlando area. This guy just got suspended by Ron DeSantis because he sent out an email during the surge of Omicron in this state while cases were exploding exponentially.
And tests are expiring.
And DeSantis is lying about 1 million home tests in a warehouse that have expired and are expiring as we speak. The man's been suspended because he sent an email encouraging people to get vaccinated. And it is an absolute fact, as we sit here, that if you are vaccinated and particularly triple vaxxed, what it does is it increases your chances of surviving, of not being hospitalized. There's no question about that. It is a fucking miracle drug, this thing. My 93-year-old grandparents, okay, 93 years old, both got COVID in December during the Omicron surge. My grandfather got minor cold symptoms for a few days, and my grandmother, who's already not all that well, was asymptomatic from COVID. Okay, so it's a fucking miracle, this vaccine. And anyone who tells you differently is lying to you. And if you believe it, you're increasing the chances that you and your loved ones are going to have a severe case or die from this.
You are very fired up. And this show needs a little lighter than this.
I built out a second stanza, Dan.
Okay, right. That sounded a little like Manly Manoff.
This is wrecking my voice, by the way. All right, yeah. So we'll take it from the lyrics that you all know and love, all right, everybody? order some hibachi on 2, 3.
You order some hibachi, present Donna Shalala with an oversized check, maybe pay for an abortion, then Dickie V says, what the heck? But now there's Life Wallet, and we're so glad a savior came. Maybe he'll be just like Nevin. Either way, here's 12 grand to Danny Boy Kane.
Well, look on the bright side. If this 15-week abortion ban passes, boosters won't be able to allegedly pay for abortions.
Stay with me, Billy. He's doing a thing. Stay with me. 12
grand a day, any boy can. I thought Joe should have gotten that. It's a good laugh. Right? It's a deep cut.
Stay with me.
Do
here.
We have a laugh track?
You just announced it. The Ruiz family just announced an NIL deal for Danny Boy Kane. $12,000. Unlimited years.
It's very inside. admittedly,
Alex Ruiz, unlimited years.
Yeah. See, we should call this the empanada factory, like the pancake factory.
Is it an NIL deal for someone that isn't a student athlete? He's just a guy on Twitter. He's a fan.
I think there should be NIL
that was not attacked
former,
by a bear, by the way.
Athletes.
He was not attacked by a bear. Let's just get that out there right now. Danny Boy Kane was not attacked by a bear.
Are we done with the DeSantis stuff? Because you didn't want to talk about DeSantis at all because there's too much here.
And I don't want to talk about John Ruiz at all.
And it's dispiriting. So let's talk about some of the stuff going on locally because there's plenty to get frustrated about around here as well. Any updates on the Miami police chief situation that we've been talking about here for a lot of time? Yeah.
I really like Manny Morales. He's the interim police chief. He's a veteran Miami cop. The concern always is with these internal promotions that you have a guy who's been a part of the problem for so long. How is he suddenly going to be part of the solution? And he was in the running last year for the top job. He, of course, did not get it. Art Acevedo got it. The decision was made almost unilaterally by Mayor Francis Suarez to usurp the entire process that was in place to hire a police chief, and he basically handpicked him. The spirit of the thing was to bring in an outsider who would have the objectivity and wouldn't have the relationships where he might feel a personal bond to someone and just say,
compromise.
Yeah, let me just make the decisions that need to be made, difficult though they may be. And what's happened, as we know, 6 months later, he gets shit canned by the commission after he calls out three sitting city commissioners for their own corruption, compares them to the mafia, and he gets fired for it and turns over evidence to the FBI and the Miami-Dade State Attorney's Office of this corruption. And he gets replaced by Manny Morales, who gets sworn in immediately following the city commission meeting that all the commissioners handpick him at. Where Joe Carollo is playing on his phone the Godfather theme song as a tip of the hat to
bold. I gotta salute the chutzpah to be that kind of mafioso.
I love when you use Yiddish.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Give me a chuck, though.
But who the hell does it? Who the hell?
Give me some phlegm.
Who the hell does that?
Hell, yeah.
Plays the Godfather theme music after knocking off a police chief who was just doing his job.
A gangster does. A mobster does. That's who does that. You know, a guy who gets away with everything because the state attorney, Catherine Fernandez Rundle, does nothing about it. That's why. Who, as we now know, is conflicted out. Suddenly, mysteriously, conflicted out of investigating this corruption at the city of Miami, has to turn it over to the Broward County State Attorney's Office. I don't know why she didn't do that several months ago. Now, all of a sudden, January, it's a problem, particularly after I make a public records request of the office that could be particularly embarrassing with the materials that I get. The timing is certainly curious. I love
when you throw around your bona fides. What was the request you made? Tell the people the request, the public records request you just recently made, because it's important that you keep doing this work, Billy, and it's important that you keep putting these pressure on people's, especially as newspaper funding and investigative reporting takes some resource hits.
Yeah, I've requested. So it's my understanding that the owners of Ball and Chain, who we've talked about several times on this show before, who have been the victims of targeted harassment by the Miami Police Department, by code enforcement, by the city attorney's office at the behest of Joe Carollo. Comandante Carollo doesn't like that Ball and Chain hosted an event for his political rival when he was running for office 5 years ago, and has been enacting political retribution and, in fact, constitutionally denying them their private property rights to run their business.
They've got a good bar,
right, like a dictator,
that we've been to and that we all know. I mean, to the degree that you can know these things, is a well-run bar by a group of people who are trying to bring back a time and place in Miami that is kind of dead because there's not stuff like that over there.
Yeah, it's a great historic bar. It's been there since the 30s right there in Cayocho. It's a fabulous piece of Miami history. The scary part and the concern about the new interim chief Morales is that in the last 3 months since he took that position, he has effectively reversed every single high-profile decision, big decision that Art Acevedo made. Now, he can fairly argue that that is a viable position, that those were bad decisions that Acevedo made that need to be reversed, but he's hired back every fired officer. He's re-promoted every demoted officer.
So the corruption is allowed to come and return everything. The river flows freely. It looks that way.
They continue their targeted raids on Ball and Chain. The concern is that these are all things that the city commission wants him to do, and he's doing all those things at their behest. He would argue, I'm my own man, I'm doing my own thing, I objectively feel that these are the right things to do. The optics, at the very least, are toxic, and here's what I'm hearing. What insiders are telling me is that there is no effort on the part right now of the city manager, Art Noriega, to look for a permanent police chief. There's no national search going on, there's no internal search going on, that they are going to keep Manny Morales, the interim police chief, indefinitely. So basically, as long as he's doing whatever the commissioners want him to do and that he thinks
so
the commissioner
wants to do. So they're again running. They're,
right. Yeah,
Billy,
and so what will happen?
So we're doing state militia stuff now, Billy.
Yeah, I mean,
we're doing our police force is now acting as just an arm for these commissioners who are at best corrupt, if not corrupt and compromised across decades in this city.
Well, that's the concern, that the department will act as their own personal Tonton Macoute. I don't know that with the history of the department, that is without its concern. I'd like to think Manny Morales is a better man and a better police chief than that. But the optics, as I said, and the bottom line is the second he does something that they don't like, here's the fun thing. They don't have to fire him like they did Art Acevedo. It doesn't have to be this whole public embarrassment.
He's just interim.
So what they do is they have the city manager announce that they're going to start the search for a police chief. And then interim chief Manny Morales gets the notice that, I did something that ruffled their feathers. And he's got his first test right now because there was this story of one of the three commissioners that Art Acevedo, the fired police chief, accused of corruption is Alex Diaz de la Portilla, one of these just serial public officials who have been feeding at the public trough for his entire life as his most of his family, the Diaz de la Portillas. It's one of these political dynasties.
You're dying to get to this mystery woman story, aren't you?
Well, we know who the woman is now. It was one of his aides, but it started out as a mystery woman because what happened was Alex Diaz de la Portilla and a young woman who works in his office were leaving a funeral, and they were being driven by a detective from the elite SIS squad, which we talked about last year, how these elite detectives are being taken off important cases for the city to basically be chauffeurs for the mayor and the city commissioners. And so this guy actually T-bones another car. I don't know who was at fault. Some people are saying the other car ran a red light or a stop sign, but the police detective T-bones this other car while chauffeuring Commissioner Alex Diaz La Portilla. Police show up to document the accident. The city attorney, who is a mob lawyer, by the way, she does not represent the people of the city of Miami. She covers up all the f***ery and the corrupt acts of the city government here. She gets a call from an officer at the scene to ask her advice. The city attorney, who gets paid about $30,000 a month in pay and benefits from taxpayers, she gets a call from a police officer whose job it is to fill out accident reports for advice on how to fill out the accident report. Because it's alleged that the commissioner and also Joe Carollo shows up at the scene. It's alleged that the commissioners don't want the police officer to accurately fill out the police report and to leave the names of certain people, perhaps the woman, perhaps the commissioner, out of the police report, which is illegal. And there is a police officer who does not want to sign this report because they know they would be signing a lie. But this is what's happening immediately. And all of this allegedly took place on body-worn camera. And a footage, which, of course, has not been released by the police department.
This is horrifying, yeah. Billy. This is all, I mean, even by the standards of Miami's always corrupt and Miami's police are always corrupt. What's happening right now is beyond the pale, but hit it, boss.
They own their cigarette boats. Historically, that's a red flag. That don't mean they're not legit. But Corbin sniffing around the SPAC.
You were mentioning Ball and Chain and the historic
flag and SPAC.
Meaning
irregular M&M
to this city. You know about our history. You have a unique perspective. You can actually explain to people all the Art Deco and what's happening here on Miami Beach. They're just actively blighting it so that they can, 20 years from now, put condos up here that knock down all the Art Deco history. We've lost a number of historic landmarks all over Miami. What do you do with this story?
Well, this is what we've been talking about all along, this intentional blight. The idea that developers can conspire with politicians to basically neglect properties to death. It's what Ron McGill is fighting at Colusa down south. It's what they're doing planning to do on Ocean Drive. We've been talking about that.
It's getting more and more obvious by the day.
As we speak. Yeah, right. There's work outside to destroy Ocean Drive. Al Capone's house is being knocked down to redevelop. There's just no sense of history. We have no institutional memory. And that's an incredibly dangerous thing, especially with an influx constantly of new arrivals who don't give a shit about any of that. And of course, you have the tragedy. This is all compounded by the tragedy of the Champlain South Tower's collapse. The famous saying goes, don't ever let a crisis go to waste. Developers are exploiting that to basically say, oh, you see, we can't save any part of this building. It's going to collapse just like Champlain South Tower. So they're exploiting that tragedy to destroy historic properties. And that is happening at the Deauville Hotel, an incredibly famous hotel. Not only do you have the Beatles when they came to Miami Beach and posed for those incredible legendary pictures with Muhammad Ali at the Fifth Street Gym, but they performed on the Ed Sullivan Show live from the Deauville Hotel. As if that's not enough, talk to anybody who's been in this town for more than 20 years, and they'll tell you they had quinceys there, they had bar mitzvahs and weddings there. It has a relationship, not unlike the Orange Bowl, it has a kind of relationship to people in the community in an emotional and historic and generational kind of way. And what they've done is they've neglected it. And this, the owners of the Marullo family, and this family are notorious for this. They did the same thing at the Grand Bay in Coconut Grove, the beautiful, famous Grand Bay Hotel, which was the highest rated hotel in Florida, probably in the country, actually, south of Palm Beach. And this beautiful, famous, it had the steps on it. There's actually this hilarious bad TV movie called Chains of Gold with John Travolta from the 80s, where there's this spectacular chase where he's like running down the steps of this building. It was an incredible, incredible place. And
we must preserve that piece of history.
No, what I'm saying is that that's
John Travolta once ran down these steps.
That was the end
in a made-for-TV movie that no one remembers. Save our history.
It wasn't built in the 80s. What I'm saying is that it's like if you want to knock down an Arctotonica building.
I ran down those steps. Oh my God. Why are they tearing it down? No,
that's better than your Bruce Springsteen, at least.
Wait a minute.
Really?
No.
Morals are compromising. Come on, Billy, put your hand in mine. Morals are compromising. Let's go to Charlotte for the second time. La, 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 la. La, 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 la.
Ay, Dios mío. Go Canes.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.